Well, welcome everyone this morning again, and great to have you all with us. We're working through a series of God's mission, our mission, and we're doing it in four stages, taking the theme from Acts chapter 1 verse 8, from Jerusalem to Judea to the Samaria and to the ends of the earth, which talked about the word of God, the mission of God going out. And the last week and this week we've been focusing on God's mission in us, like in Jerusalem, in the church itself, to transform us and have us in, to be the sort of people doing the sort of things that God wants us to be doing. So this is a focus on us. And last week, Donnie preached a great message on the importance of us dying to self and living for God. And if you weren't here last week, I'd recommend you go on the website and listen to the podcast. It was a really good message. And I'm building on that theme this morning, taking a different passage that's quite similar to what Donnie talked about, and that's out of Romans chapter 6. And this is a passage that every time I do a baptism, I always read a part of this passage, because I think there's an amazing symbolism in that that really cements something in us when we're baptized. And if we pick it up in verse 3 of Romans chapter 6, it says, "Do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we've been united with him in death like this, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we would no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin." That's an amazing symbolism of baptism. As Jesus died and was buried and then rose again by the power of God, so too in our baptism we symbolize that fact that when we give our life over to Jesus and allow God to be Lord of our life, we are dying to ourselves. So it's almost like when you go down into that water, you are dying to yourself. And we're demonstrating to all that are witnesses to that, that we have been raised to a new life in Christ. And so what God has done in our life when we've accepted what Christ has done for us and given our life to him and are choosing to live for God rather than for ourselves, then that's what baptism sort of symbolizes and seals within us. And if you've never been baptized and never had that experience, I'd really encourage you to think about that, because that sense of baptism, going down under the water, buried, dead, and being raised up, is very powerful. And I think there's lots of different ways you can be baptized, but I really like that immersion baptism because it has that symbolism of a death. And if you remember last week, if you were here last week, Donnie told a great story about in the prison ministry that he was part of, how the chaplain would baptize the young guys, and he actually had a coffin-shaped baptistry. And they would baptize them down into this coffin and raise them up out of the water. And when they got up out of the water, they would say, do you remember what he said they would say? "Dead man, stay there." Well, unfortunately, the dead man comes out too often. And we don't live what we've actually received all the time. And so this morning I want to talk a little bit about how we keep the dead person dead and live in the new life that Christ has given us. I don't know about you, but I like doing jobs around the house and working on the car and all that sort of stuff. And I often get very dirty doing that, covered in dust and sweat and everything else, or grease if I'm working on the car. And it's great to come in, take those old dirty clothes off, throw them on the floor for Heather to pick up later and wash. Being honest here. Yeah. She's not here, so I can say this sort of stuff. Yeah, I'm sure you'll tell her. And then have a really good shower or soak in a bath, get really nice and clean, put on some really nice clean clothes. And isn't that a great feeling after you've been sweaty and smelly and stinking and dirty, to be nice and fresh, you know? And it's a bit like that in our spiritual life. Sometimes we just get dirty, you know? We're doing the stuff that messes our life up. We're getting sweaty and horrible, not nice to be around. No one wants to be close and hug you because what's happening, what you're like. And we just need to put that stuff off, get ourselves clean again, come back before God, pray and ask for his forgiveness, and put on the sort of character and nature of Christ again and feel fresh and clean and nice and good to be around. Paul actually, in other passages to some of the churches, uses that sort of imagery of putting off the old self and putting on the new self. And it's a process. It's not something that once we've been baptized or once we've given our life to Christ and the old has gone and the new has come, that we constantly just live in it. Wouldn't it be great if we did? The power of God's Spirit is there to help us, but we still mess up. It's like sometimes I might come home from church or something, or I've got good clothes on and I just see a job that needs to be done around the house, and without thinking, I just go and do it. And the next minute, my good clothes are not so clean anymore. And Heather is going, "Oh, not again. Why don't you go and get changed before you did that?" You know. So sometimes we just forget that we should be living, you know, in a good, clean way, and we mess up. We just forget, or, you know, or we intentionally go and do it without thinking that, no, there's a right way to do this stuff and I'm going to do it the right way. So Paul talks about this, and you'll find some in Galatians, some in Ephesians, but I'm going to look at a passage out of Colossians chapter 3. And in Colossians chapter 3, he's talking about living as those made alive in Christ. "Since then, you've been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ, seated at the right hand of God, Set your mind on those things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, and when you will appear with him in glory." Talking about a future thing there. But so he says, "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. There is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian or Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if you have a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, songs, and the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Now, we find lots of lists in the New Testament about things that we shouldn't be doing and things that we should be doing. And this is one of those where it just talks about those things that we're to put off out of our life and those things that we're to put on. And so in a very practical sense, he's talking about the things here that we are to take off, put off, get rid of. And he's also giving us a list of the things we should be clothing ourselves with or putting on. I want to suggest that as you think about a practical way of doing this, any morning, like this morning, before you came to church, you didn't just necessarily grab the first thing that was there. You thought about, what am I going to wear? What would be something that I'd be comfortable with coming into this environment with? And so whenever we actually get up in the morning, whether we're going to work or whatever we're going to do, we go to our wardrobe or to our floor robe and pick up what we want to wear. So there's an intentionality in thinking, what am I going to wear? What am I going to put on for today? What am I going to feel comfortable in? What am I going to be wearing that is suitable and appropriate? I want to say that's the outside. We have a concern about how people see us on the outside, and we want to present a certain image of who we are. And our clothing will reflect something of the sort of things that are important to us. Whether we import, our value is to feel comfortable to be casual, or whether it's to feel comfortable to be more formally dressed, or whether it's in surf gear or whatever other gear that you feel is something about who you are. But what do we do about clothing the inside so that we are, on the inside, the people that we want to be, the people that we know Christ wants us to be? So what do we put on every morning to think about, I want to go out and be known for this? This is who I want people to see when they see me. Now, they won't see it on the outside, but they'll experience it for who you are, for your character, your nature, the way they interact with you, the things you say, the things you don't say, the things you do, the things you don't do. So think about this. He says here, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other, forgiving with one another. If you have any grievance, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So I wonder, when you get up in the morning, or any time you go to your wardrobe and open that door to think about what am I going to wear, let's have a conscious thought with that action of thinking, this is my outside. What do I want to be wearing on the inside? What do I need to put on to represent myself the way Christ wants me to be representing myself? To putting him on in our life. And maybe what do I need to take off and throw in the wastebasket that isn't representing him well? Putting off and putting on internally is just as important as what we do to represent ourselves externally. In fact, it's a lot more important because Christ looks at the heart, the inside, not the outside. And we might judge people according to whether we like the way they dress, we think they're dressed appropriately or inappropriately, and all of that. But in the end of the day, what really matters is what's in their heart. Who are they living for? What are they representing? And Christ calls us to have his character and nature, and he gives us his Holy Spirit to empower us and enable us to live that way. So are we actually appropriating that? Taking it, putting it on, and allowing Christ to work in and through us as we go out and represent him in daily life, whether it's just having breakfast with your wife and kids, or whether it's going to work and working alongside of your colleagues, whether it's going and playing sport, or whether it's just whatever you're doing. Are we clothed with the things that make us Christ-like? Are we becoming a people that are attractive because we have a good character and nature that people are drawn to Christ within us? Or are we no different from anybody else? Do we get just as angry when someone cuts us off when we're driving, you know, and all those things? Are we inclined to do stuff that doesn't reflect Christ? When you go to the wardrobe, consciously think, what have I got to take off? What have I got to put on the inside as well as the outside? Just a little thought trigger to help you get your life in line with the things that we're meant to have it in line with. Now, on the front of your bulletins, I've got them to put a couple of these verses. It's just the verses about what we should be clothed with. Now, before that, it talks about the things that we should put off in the Bible. If you've got a Bible, if you've got it on one of your devices there, it talks about putting off stuff, you know, like putting off things like anger, rage, malice, slander, bad language, and so on, lying. Take off that old stuff and its practices. But then it talks about what we're to be clothed with. So at the very least, you've got in front of you, if you've got a church bulletin there, some things that we should be clothed with. I want you to reflect for a moment and think, look at that list. What are some of the things that I probably need to be more intentional about each day to clothe myself with, to put on the inside? And you might want to look at the list before and think, what are some of the things that maybe I need to put off that are too much in my inner wardrobe at the moment that do not reflect Jesus and his character? Just have a look and think about that for a moment. Just recognize that we are all on this journey of being far from perfect. We've still got a lot to learn. And whether we've been following Jesus for 60 years or 6 years or 6 months, we're on a journey. And I'll just share one last personal little illustration to show that you constantly got to keep coming back to it and putting off the selfishness and taking on a willingness to serve Christ wholeheartedly. As you know, at Easter we went to be part of the Christian Surfers National Gathering. 200 young crew, mostly young, coming from all over Australia, and the leaders of each state group coming together to just build a sense of enthusiasm and encouragement, teaching and growth on the mission to reach people who enjoy surfing around our coast. We've been part of that movement for a long, long time and love it. And I guess we're sort of seen as some of the grandparents of the movement, and the young crew often come and want to share stuff with us and have us, you know, reflect and pray for them. And we look forward to going every time. And just by being there, somehow we just sort of encourage the younger crew coming through. And it's nice that that happens. But when we were going this year, the accommodation was all bunkhouse accommodation. And Heather and I, being oldies, you know, we're probably a bit over sharing a big bunk room with a whole lot of young crew. We didn't want to be in separately, me with the guys and her with the girls, you know. She likes to sing in her sleep, and that sort of doesn't go down with everybody. So sometimes that embarrasses her. I hope she never listens to this tape. And I'm an introvert. I don't like necessarily having no private space to go back to. And so we're aware of this. And while we were down there, we had that week off beforehand. Instead of fully looking forward to being there and being enthused with this amazing young crew that are so committed to the mission, a lot of our conversation was with, oh, I don't want to be in a bunkhouse. Oh, you know, I wish we could find somewhere else to stay. And we're getting on the internet trying to find somewhere else to stay on the Gold Coast at Easter. Wasn't happening. You know, and we sort of think, oh, do we go home early? Do we sort of go home and then come back and, you know, maybe stay one night and then go home, have 2 days there? All this stupid stuff, you know, we're worrying about. And as the week's gone on, we started to feel convicted. What are you thinking? You're going to be involved in mission with this crew for this weekend. It's going to be fantastic. And you're worried about a little bit of disease, a little bit of not the comfort you would like, a little bit of less the private space you would like. What are you thinking? You know, this is what God has saying to us. And I thought, if I was going to Thailand or the Philippines or somewhere to do a mission trip for a week, I wouldn't think twice about sleeping on the ground if I needed to, you know. To be there and to be involved in that opportunity to serve. So why am I worried? But then, oh, so there's one other little part that was very funny. The girl who's organised the accommodation, who knows us really well, sent me and two other guys, who we know very well and they're good mates of ours, a text saying, congratulations, you've won a spot in the party room with 20 others. That ramped it up about 100%. And that was making me really want to get on the internet. So anyway, we dealt with all this. We prayed about it. And we said, no, that's ridiculous. Sorry, Lord, we've been really selfish now, thinking we're going and we're fully committed and we're going to put whatever those things aside and we're going to be positive about wherever we are. When we got there, we discovered we were in a room with two other couples, who were the two other guys who got that same email, who we've known for years and are best mates with, and we had a great time sharing this room with them for the weekend, catching up, and we were so comfortable to be in that room with them and all the rest of it. So, you know, God knew all of that, but he was testing us. And you think after 60 years of serving God, we would have not even thought about that? Nah. You know, it gets at you and you've got to work through it and you've got to come back to that place of commitment. I'm going to choose to put aside my own selfishness, whatever that is, and do what God's asking me to do and make my full commitment to it. And we would have missed out on so much if we'd have not got to that place in that week of committing to be fully committed to God rather than our own selfishness. But it took us a week. So don't be disappointed if it's a process and you work through it and it doesn't happen overnight. Keep working at it, praying and getting yourself that place where you're willing to say yes to God, to put off that other stuff that really gets in the way and to put on the stuff that enables you to be in the place of the greatest blessing and the greatest opportunity to serve and be used by God. So let me pray for you, and then we're finished. Lord, I thank you that all of us are on a journey to become like you in our character and our nature. And I pray that this week and from now on, we would think more intentionally every morning and every part of the day of what are we putting on and what are we taking off. That we would take off more of the old self stuff and put on more of the new self stuff, the stuff that reflects the character and nature that you created and meant us to have. Until we mess it up. So I pray, Lord, that we would grow and that your mission in changing and transforming us would be an ongoing one where we're making positive forward steps and not so many of the backward ones. Keep working in our lives, Lord, and by the power of your Spirit, enable us to make right choices and to live up to them and to be available to you and to reflect you wherever we go. May we be faithful and effective witnesses to you by our lives and our words. And we ask this by the power of your Spirit, Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week. Stay and have a cup of tea and coffee with us.